Ladies and gentlemen, the Columbia Workshop.
Beginning this week, the radio industry is taking you behind the scenes of broadcasting to tell you about this remarkable instrument of entertainment, education, and service. All over the country, broadcasting stations will have new things to tell you about some of the amazing developments which are taking place in American radio. The Columbia Broadcasting System is cooperating with the National Association of Broadcasters in an effort to bring you many programs of outstanding interest and importance. Tonight, the Columbia Workshop will undertake in half an hour to give you a bird's eye view of the service radio has done listener and composer in presenting music which otherwise might remain unheard. On the night of September 15, 1927, the first day of its network operations, the Columbia Broadcasting System sounded a keynote of its music policy by the first complete performance of the new American opera, The King's Henchman, by Deems Taylor. The bars of music you have just heard are from that opera, the first of many memorable music events in CBS history. The Columbia Workshop narrator this evening is Davidson Taylor, General Supervisor of Music Broadcasts for CBS.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. Good evening, everyone. Obviously, it is impossible to condense the whole music history of radio into so small a capsule as tonight's workshop period. In 1938 alone, there were 661 and three-quarters hours of serious music on this one network, 1,266 broadcasts. Tonight, we have time to focus attention only on a single task of radio music activity. This task is giving an opportunity for unfamiliar works by great composers and new works by living composers to be heard by the widest possible public. Such broadcasts as the Monumental Philharmonic Symphony series on Sunday afternoons have led radio listeners to take for granted that great music will be readily available to them. But how about music with unfamiliar titles by familiar names? There's a great treasury of pieces from the past which have sunk into obscurity today, but which were the popular music of their own time. That is why Bernard Herrmann, who conducts for the workshop, instituted some time ago a series of programs called Famous Musical Evenings, in which he played pieces that were in constant demand from the composers of other days. It is not so difficult to hear Handel's Messiah. It is more difficult to hear his occasional overture. So on one of these programs of Famous Musical Evenings, the announcer would paint the atmosphere of a London concert of the 18th century and refer to the triumphal march from George Frederick Handel's occasional overture as the stirring piece Mr. Handel wrote last year to celebrate the king's victory over the young pretender, Charles Edward. And here is the march from the Handel occasional overture, Mr. Herrmann conducting. About concert audiences in this country is their enormous solemnity. Sometimes we are almost afraid of the composer. Like Sweet Alice in the song, we weep with delight if he gives us a smile and tremble with fear at his frown. And that is why Howard Barlow, began his series of broadcasts for children called Music for Fun. The youngsters who came into the studio expressed their frank opinions of the music played. And we were delighted to observe that the younger listeners to radio are taking music in their stride. When a composer makes a joke, they are not afraid to laugh with him. It was for Music for Fun that Howard Barlow unearthed the score of The Dance of the Little Fishes from Sadko by Rimsky-Korsakov. And Mr. Barlow conducts it now. Which is broadcast during the school year at the same time each afternoon, Bernard Herrmann devised a music series of works by famous amateurs. The composers included quite a lot of people many of us may never have thought of as musicians. Sidney Lanier, Marie Antoinette, Frederick the Great, Friedrich Nietzsche, Samuel Butler. In playing these works by famous amateurs, we emphasized that it is not necessary to be a professional musician and give your whole life to the art in order to get a great deal out of it and bring a great deal to it. The youngsters and the teachers listening to this series heard for the first time on the American air the overture from an enchanting little opera, The Village Soothsayer, by the French humanist and philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Mr. Herrmann directs tonight the overture from this disarming little work. Another series Mr. Herman introduced on CBS was Exploring Music. This feature aimed to bring to light all kinds of works, both modern and classic, which for some reason had not yet been given their opportunity in America. Listeners seemed to welcome these excursions down musical bypaths, and they expressed in no uncertain terms their pleasure or their displeasure at an opportunity to judge for themselves such new works as The Two Marches and an Intermezzo by the contemporary Frenchman Francis Poulenc. Mr. Herman plays now one of the marches which he gave its first American performance. Confess willingly that we have always had something of a bias at CBS in favor of American music. The name of Charles Ives is by no means as familiar as it might be to American concert audiences. It is much more familiar to radio listeners because many of his works have been heard on Columbia stations. One of these was his quartet in G. We have time tonight for only part of the second movement. It is based on two familiar hymn tunes, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing and Sweet Canaan's Happy Land. Whether this work is a masterpiece is not for us to say. However, after many years of broadcasting music by Charles Ives, we feel secure in stating that it is the work of a master. Bernard Herrmann conducts the string orchestra in this music now. incident to his broadcasts of Everybody's Music, Howard Barlow announced that he would play at least one American work on every concert. He also invited American composers everywhere to send him their scores so that he might perform as many new works as possible. Among the composers who responded was a young Texas woman named Julia Smith. Since Mr. Barlow played her episodic suite, her name has been on the front pages of a good many newspapers in connection with her one-act opera called Cynthia Parker, performed on February 16, 1939, at North Texas State Teachers College, Denton, Texas. Very few of us knew the gifted Miss Smith when Mr. Barlow gave the first broadcast to her episodic suite in 1938. Here's part of it, the waltz for Little Lulu, the same Little Lulu you have seen in the cartoons. CBS that the Columbia Composers Commission is a specific radio contribution to the cause of American music. For 2 years, we asked American composers to write us works especially for broadcasting, and they responded with an interesting variety of pieces. Aaron Copland's Music for Radio, A Tall Story by Jerome Moross, Walter Piston's Concertino for Piano and Chamber Orchestra, The Time Suite by Roy Harris, Eight Etudes for Symphony Orchestra by Robert Russell Bennett, Theme in Yellow by Leo Sowerby, Howard Hanson's Symphony No. 3, An American Sampler by R. Nathaniel Dett, and two operas, Green Mansions by Louis Greenberg and Beauty and the Beast by Vittorio Giannini and Robert A. Simon. These works were written specifically for you, the radio audience, as a result of the Columbia Composers Commission. We have asked Mr. Barlow to play tonight just a fragment of the first of these Music for the Microphone pieces, which reached us. The composer is William Grant Still, whose music for the Perisphere at the World's Fair was introduced on CBS only last week by Andre Castellanets. Mr. Still's commissioned work was a Harlem panorama called Lenox Avenue, and Mr. Barlow conducts the sections called Dancing Gamins and Dancing Drunkard.
Thank you.
Radio has sometimes been accused of merely capitalizing on materials created for other media. We hope we have shown tonight how deep an interest radio takes in bringing both new and neglected old ones before a public which might otherwise find such music unavailable. We want to conclude this workshop broadcast with a work by a young man whom you all know. He is Bernard Herrmann, who not only conducts the workshop orchestra as a rule, but also composes many of the scores of incidental music which add so much to these productions. Howard Barlow will conduct Mr. Herrmann's scherzo, composed in 1936 especially for the Columbia Broadcasting Symphony. Before he does so, we would like to tell you that Mr. Herrmann's most ambitious work, the dramatic cantata Moby Dick, will receive its world premiere during the Philharmonic Symphony season next year and will also be on CBS. Mr. John Barbary says that he thinks Moby Dick is probably the most important work by a young American composer which has come to his attention. We'd only like to add that Moby Dick represents altogether another phase of Mr. Herrmann's talent from this earlier scherzo, which is dedicated to Mr. Barlow, who conducts it now.
Tonight, the Columbia Workshop has brought you the first in a series of CBS presentations devoted to the story of radio itself and given in cooperation with the National Association of Broadcasters. The Columbia Broadcasting Symphony was directed by Howard Barlow and Bernard Herrmann, and the commentator was Davidson Taylor, General Supervisor of Music Broadcasts for CBS. Next week at this same hour, the Columbia Workshop takes pleasure in announcing another of these special broadcasts, the title, Seems Radio's Here to Stay, a verse by Norman Corwin. And to be announced, we shall present the broadcast originally scheduled for tonight. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.